You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 198. And today, let's discover how to grow a thriving membership site with a 96% retention rate. You're ready for this? Let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson, profit amplifier, visibility catalyst for expertpreneurs who are ready to get seen and get hired and share their magnetic message with the world. Today, I've got a special guest joining me, and I was so excited about what she shared about membership sites, because we all understand the value of a membership site. Membership sites are one of those areas that we can get consistent, predictable revenue. And a lot of people don't really know how to do them very well. So our guest today brings us a wealth of knowledge. And I was thinking about one of the complements to having a thriving membership site is to really understand what options you have to create a revenue rush into your business. Now, I have a free toolkit called Your Revenue Rush. It includes my top 10 strategies for creating that boost of cash flow on demand. And I'd like to share it with you absolutely free at yourrevenuerush.com. Now, when you download it, I want you to read it. And then I want you to pick at least one of the strategies that you will put into action. And come on over to the Amplify Your Success community and tell me what you are going to try. These strategies are ones that I've personally put into action around my business, I've used with clients, and you never know what tools you're going to need in your toolbox. You hit a bump in the road, or maybe an unexpected client disappears and you need to bump up that cash flow. Try one of the 10 strategies I've outlined in this toolkit at yourrevenuerush.com. Now, let's learn how to grow a thriving membership site. Get excited, my friends, because we've got a really awesome guest lined up today. We're talking about how to grow a thriving membership site where you have a 96% retention rate. Now, let me introduce you to Catherine Watkin. She's the founder of Selling from the Heart. She's the UK's leading expert in authentic and heart-centered sales. She works with business owners who feel called to make a difference to others, but yet struggle to get clients because they feel so awkward when it comes to selling their services. Through her online course and membership, she teaches them how to sell in a way that feels authentic, comfortable for both them and the client, so they're finally able to do the work they know they are here to do. Now, Catherine is an inspiring role model for how it's possible to create a successful business without resorting to sleazy or manipulative sales and marketing techniques. So, Catherine, welcome to the Amplify Your Success community.
And thank you for having me on. I'm really excited to be here.
Me too. Now, I am so excited to talk to you about membership sites today, because I think a lot of people, they like the idea of a membership site. They understand this is where a lot of leverage can come. They can expand the reach they have with people. They know that they're going to be able to, be able to deliver a lot of value for not these huge price points, and yet they fail over and over and over for people. So how would someone know that a membership site is the right business model for them?
Oh, and this is a question I love, because I love talking about business models. So often people inadvertently start businesses doing something that they love, only to find that they don't actually love running the business that they've created. And I think finding the right business model is so important. I can tell you why it was the right model for me. So I initially started out following the advice of my business mentors. I had an online program, and the standard advice that I was getting was, if you want your business to work, you have to have a high-end mentoring offering. So I used to have a high-end mentoring offering that was between £5,000 and £10,000, depending on the level. And I ran that for quite a few years. But for me, ultimately, why membership is the perfect model for me, there's two reasons. One is that I'm really all about community. And when you have an online course or a high-end mastermind level program, there comes a point where somebody leaves. They've learned what they came for, or they've made that progress, and they move on. And I always felt that wrench when people moved on. So I wanted a low monthly investment membership where, as long as someone was getting value from being in my world, they didn't need to leave. The other big reason is about feeling called to help a lot of people. So I used to have about 20 women a year in my mastermind group, and I always felt quite limited by this sense that I could be helping so many more people. And so the lower price point means that the teaching is the same, but it's available and accessible to so many more people. So I think those are the two key things. It's the sense of community and that real calling to impact many more people at once.
I love that. And really that sense of community, if that you're not that kind of person, this that might not be the right business model for you, because not everybody's looking for those connections and community the way I think you and I do.
Yeah, and not everyone would want that work, and not everybody wants a membership as well. It's an all year round thing. Not everybody wants to be committed to delivering on something every month of the year, whereas I love it because I'm staying connected to my members and it's like an extended family for me. Mm.
I'm getting curious as you're talking, how do you distinguish membership from group coaching?
So with the membership, so at the moment, my membership has 353 members. And I do have within the membership a session that is called a group coaching call. So they effectively are having group coaching. They come, they bring their questions, their challenges. I coach and advise them in a group setting. However, I also have a mastermind level program for a much smaller group of people. I do the same thing. It's still group coaching, but it's a smaller number. It's more intimate. They've invested more. So they come to every call and there is ongoing accountability and progress. Whereas one of the downsides of a membership, because there's not all upsides, one of the things that I find difficult about running a membership is at a lower monthly price point, people don't attend calls consistently. And that means that despite the fact that I'm there available to help and support, people might drop in, they come to a couple of calls, they don't come again for a few months. So group coaching, I feel like it's still group coaching, but if it's for a much larger number at a lower price point, you can't keep hold of them and track them and hold them accountable in the same way you can with a smaller group at a higher investment.
That's a really good distinction. And I think if you don't have a lot of skin in the game, you're probably not as plugged in. You know, you just drop in when you know there's something you want to attain. But you're right, like those higher investments, you're more committed to the process.
Yeah, and it was a shock for me because I had run this program that was the equivalent, I'm going to talk in pounds because I'm in the UK, but it was the equivalent of £500 a month, whereas my membership currently is priced around £40 a month. So I'm there all like Pollyanna wanting to help everybody. This is amazing. I can help them in just the same way for this lower price point. And it was quite a shock to me at how a lot of people don't show up and use it. Whereas when they put that skin in the game, as you said, they show up to everything and they take the action and they get the results. And with a membership, it's much more dependent on them. And that can be frustrating for me because I want people to come and get that consistent, continuous help. And that can be frustrating for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. It is for me too. I've dabbled with membership sites over the years and membership programs. And yeah, when people aren't all in, and it's almost like there's this level that the more you invest, the more committed you are. It's like the brain works differently when you have more money that you're investing in something. So
yeah.
I like when people are investing more. I find that we get better traction and better results. That's what seems to work the best for me right now.
Yeah.
So how does someone go about starting a membership program?
So for me, when I started mine, I had been in business for about 6 or 7 years. So I had a following and I had a community and I had probably about 600 people who'd already been through my online program. So I did a founder member launch only to people who had done my programs previously because I knew they would understand the value and it should have, you know, I knew it would be a no-brainer decision for them to come in and join. So I launched and I had 114 members straight away, which mistakes I see people make with memberships sometimes is that I think that people get very excited by the possibility of membership. You know, you can talk about the big numbers. You can say, oh, 500 members at $50 a month. That gets very exciting. But actually, if you try and launch a membership and you don't have the audience, and you don't have the following, what I see very often is people launch a membership, they get very small numbers, they're now committed to running the membership, and they very quickly become disillusioned or demotivated because they feel that they're not really being financially rewarded for the work that they're putting in. So I always coach my clients around that decision. You know, what would you need to be bringing in every month in order to feel that this feels worthwhile to you? And sometimes the answer will be, I'd be happy to get started with 20, in which case I say, great, you know, we can do that. But if you want to get started with 100 or 300 straight out the gate, you need to have an audience to invite into it.
Yeah, that's wise counsel. Because I think, again, people get starry-eyed. It's like, oh, yeah, look at all the possibilities. They see what this person's doing, that person's doing. And it's almost like it's like a rite of passage, or I'm trying to think of the right word, like a pin that you pull that, you know, it's time to move from whatever you're doing now to a membership, because you've got all the right assets, you've got all the right timing, you've got all the right leverage in that momentum that will help fill a program.
Yeah. And some people start very small, consciously knowing that's what they're doing, and they grow it organically alongside their one-to-one work. And that's great if they're going into it with their eyes open. Other people will actually take their time to grow their audience for 18 months or 2 years. So, you know, I've known there's a lady here in the UK with a very big membership. And I think she tells the story of how she grew that audience for 3 years before she first launched. But then she has a very big membership now. So, yeah. It's that expectations thing. I think that's where a lot of business owners get so frustrated, because they like you said, they get starry-eyed, but they're not connected to the reality, and their expectations are often out of alignment. You know, if only three people even know your business exists, and one of them's your mum and one of them's your husband, then you're not going to have 500 people in your first launch.
Well said. Truth bomb. You know, I think on the flip side, once you figure out how to get going, there's another place where there can be a lot of expectations that get crushed, and that's on retention. And
oh yes,
you pride yourself on super high retention. Like, you get 96% retention. And I think you say that there's a average retention as membership in a membership is 90%. I've actually seen that retention for a lot of people, especially once you get past the first year, is closer to 40-50%. And I'm wondering, like, what your secret sauce is around that.
I think it's partly an obsession with it. I think so. That figure of 96%, that was my 2019 retention rate. That was my second full year of running the membership, and that was the month by month on month out. That was the average per month across the whole of 2019, with the 96%, which took me by surprise, because I thought it was worse than that. And I think for me, because I was used to running higher ticket programs, I just wasn't used to people leaving. So every time somebody would cancel, I would be like, I can't believe they're leaving. Like, why would they leave this amazing membership? Do they not understand all the value that they're getting? And I think that I've probably over focused on the retention, but it's paid off well for me. And I think things that I do, you know, it's not like a conscious thing. I didn't know that I was going to get that retention rate, but I do a lot of I put a lot of focus on it. And one of the things I do is that I run that membership like I ran the high-end program. And I think what a lot of people do is they set up a membership and they see it as a funnel into their higher ticket programs, or something that they don't put a lot of time and energy and effort into it. But I pour my heart and soul into my membership, and I think my members feel that. And they feel that I get to, as long as they show up to calls, I get to know them. I'm able to give them very personalized advice. And I think people, and the other thing that I do is that from the very, very beginning, I always knew that my membership was about community. And my own mentor who teaches about memberships, he always says, they come for the content or the training, but they stay for the community. So they'll join your membership based on the promise of like the business mentoring or the coaching or the training. But the reason people don't leave is because they get plugged into that community and they want to stay with their business family. And from the very beginning, I built it around community and fostered a sense of community. The members support each other. And I think that really keeps people very, very, very connected. They're not just leaving. It's not like, oh, I'm leaving this program because I don't need the training anymore. It's like, this is my business family. This is where I'm plugged in and connected into something bigger. And I value this in my life and I don't want to walk away from it.
I want to unpack that one a little bit more because I love that you are so obsessed about membership sites and giving. And I think that that value exchange is what people feel, even if they can't articulate it. Mm. But I do know that a lot of people, especially at this price point, as we were mentioning, the skin in the game, like, I think some people, they do leave. And a lot of people are confused by why someone like yourself is giving so much great value, but people are not plugging in, they're not using it, and then they're leaving. Do you have a sense of maybe a couple of the factors that causes people to leave a really amazing program?
The people who use it never leave. I've got members who've been in for 2.5 years since I opened the doors. The members who use it, who show up, they never, ever leave. The people who leave, and this is the secret of retention, actually, the people who leave are the ones who stop using it. They get busy. They get focused on other things. They keep thinking, oh, I'll come back to it next month. I'll come back to it next month. They don't. After 3 months, they look at their bank statement and they think, oh, I've got money going out on this thing I'm not using. And that's when we get the cancellations. And so we do a lot to try and focus on maintaining engagement. So we do regular themed months to sort of bring people back in. We had a Facebook Live challenge in April this year. We had something like a really high, something like about a third of all of the members took part in that Facebook Live challenge. We have September is always Refocus September, where we focus on getting people refocused for the rest of the year. So we're always consciously thinking about what can we do to shake it up and make it different. We bring in guest experts on different topics. So it's not like the same old, oh, there's the Q&A and there's the hot seat and the same thing happens every month. We try and build in these sort of special events that keep people, that re-engage them if they've drifted off.
Yeah, I think you just hit the nail on the head, for lack of a better term. And that's really, if people are engaged, they're using it and they're getting value and they'll stay.
Yes, and it's the ones who are not using it that leave. And that's the biggest challenge of a membership owner, is the constant question. It's engagement. It's not really retention. It's engagement. Because if they're engaging, they're automatically retained. And so the constant focus is on how do we engage? How do we engage? How do we keep them engaged? How do we bring them back in if they've drifted off?
You know, I'm really interested to know your expertise is in selling. And I know that's what your program is about. But when it comes to designing the enrollment process for something like a membership site, how does someone do that? You know, and I think this is another area that a lot of people, they probably don't have the right mindset or the right process in place to enroll people in a membership program.
So I've always run a launch model right from the very, very beginning of my business. Before I even knew what a launch was, I launched. So my very first online program, I used to sell it through webinars, and then my launch gradually grew. So when I started to run the membership, I just took my launch process that I've always used for my online course, and I used that to sell the membership. So there's like a 2-week launch process, a series of Facebook Live trainings, a couple of webinars, lots and lots and lots of emails directing people to the sales page. And it's a one-to-many process. There's no one-to-one conversation at a price point like that. It's very much a one-to-many, and usually enroll 100 or so people each time I open it up.
Okay. So that was what I was hoping you were going to say, because I know some people who are doing memberships are still, they're falling back on those one-on-one comfort zones, right? Like, I need to meet with people one-on-one to get them into my membership. And I think there's a mindset reboot we have to have when we're going to offer a group experience like this, that if you're not able to sell it, in a launch model or one-to-many sales process, there's something off in the messaging, or there's something out of sync with your process. And I think you're creating such a great example of what's possible here.
Yeah. And it doesn't work. I mean, it depends on the membership and on the price point. And if you're selling an annual membership and the price point is for that annual membership is actually worth you having maybe a 20-minute call with somebody, then okay.
Sure.
For my own membership, I don't see it as, it's not particularly high touch. If they want the high touch, they need to join it and then they can get access to me on group calls. But at that price point, it is, you can't be that high touch with people at that price point.
Yeah. And I just want to ground this down for a minute, because I think we have stumbled into a really important conversation about pricing and the amount of effort you should have to put into enrolling someone at that price point. This is my rule of thumb, and I'd be really curious yours. Mm. For me, once you hit 1,000 to maybe 1,500, 2,000, you should be flipping to that one-on-one conversation for most people. Mm. What do you find is the price point that flips from being able to do a launch to one-on-one?
This is what I normally advise my clients to do. I've always sold through webinars, and I'm very skilled at selling through webinars. That's one of my areas of expertise as well. But it takes great skill to be able to sell £1,000 or $1,000 plus program purely from a webinar. Now, lots of big marketers do it. We can all think of lots of people who sell $2,000 level, $3,000 level programs, one to many. But it takes a lot of skill, and a lot of business owners, especially if they're in the earlier stages and they haven't really honed that skill. And I come from a sales background, which is why it was easier for me. It's a big ask. And I think that it's often safer to invite people to the one-to-one conversation at that price point.
Yeah, me too. Mm. Yeah, I do too. I have some luck with things around 2000 to 2500, but I have a very specialized process to make those things work. And you have to do a lot of that nurturing and warming people up before they get there.
Yeah.
What do you think is the most challenging, or the thing that was the hardest, way more than you expected, in introducing membership programs into your business?
It was the flip side of what we've already talked about, which was the people leaving and the people not engaging. I'd been in business for, I think it was about 6 or 7 years, but running relatively high ticket programs. And I just wasn't used to people deciding to leave. And I used to find it really hard. I couldn't help taking it very personally. Every time I got a cancellation email, I'd get really demoralized. And I remember having a conversation with a member of my team who also had a membership. And she said to me, she gave me quite a hard talking to me. She said, look, Catherine, if you can't get comfortable with people canceling, then a membership is the wrong model for you, because that's the nature of a membership. People can cancel anytime. And that was sort of my wake up, which is I just need to sort of suck it up and accept it, that people are going to cancel. If it's a month by month membership, I just need to get comfortable with that. But that was the hardest part for me.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I would like to hear from you 3 tips or pieces of advice that you'd give to someone who's thinking of launching a membership that they should know before they make the leap.
One thing I would say to somebody who's thinking of launching a membership is to not sell a month-by-month membership right from the very beginning. Because I see this so often, people launch a membership, they get a bunch of people in, and then before they launch again, those people start leaving. And it becomes so demoralizing, they often give up. When I launched mine, I tied everybody in. It was a 6 month or a 12 month membership. And I wanted to tie everybody in for the first full 6 months so that I didn't have to deal with people leaving. And I knew I had that baseline revenue as I grew it. And it was only after I launched it for the second time that first group of people passed their 6 months, and it didn't do as much damage if they decided to leave at that point. So that's the first thing. The other thing I would ask people to consider is whether they want to run an open or a closed membership. So open means that the membership is open all the time. People can join it at any time. And that can be quite hard to sell, because human nature and human psychology goes, oh, that thing is really interesting. I think I might think about it and come back next month. And it can be really hard to get people to make that decision and cross the line. So I run what's called the closed membership, which means that it's only open 2 times a year when I launch it. So people within that week, while the membership is actually open for enrollment, people have to decide, there's a deadline, they have to join, and it cuts off. The downside of it then, of course, is it's closed. So I can't welcome new members. And I have friends saying, I have members saying, I've got a friend who I'd like to join. Can she join? And I say, no, sorry, it's closed. It'll be opening again in November. And then the other piece is around pricing, actually. And one of the things that I would, this is what my mentor advised me to do, and it's worked very well for me, is to start out a little bit lower than you aim to have the membership be, so that you can increase the price point with every launch. Because that's a great retention strategy. It locks people in. So my founder members are locked in at a rate that when I launch next, they will be paying 50% of the actual current membership fee. And then each time I've launched it, I've increased the price just by about £5 each time. So there's like these different layers of people who are locked in or grandfathered in at their rate, which helps to discourage them from leaving, because they think, oh, I think I might leave because I'm not using it and I'll come back in a few months. But when they know that if they come back in a few months, they might be paying 10, 15, 20 pounds more, that helps keep them in.
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. I love it. I hope we're inspiring some of our listeners and our community here at Amplify Your Success to think about introducing a membership into their program. And I know you have some resources that help with this. I think you've got a quiz you want to share. You want to tell us what
quiz,
that
actually,
is?
The quiz is slightly different. The quiz is more relating to sales and marketing styles. Okay. So I have a quiz and it's called the Authentic Sales Styles Quiz. And it's at katherinewatkin.com/quiz. And it's really about helping people to identify where their strengths and weaknesses are when it comes to sales and marketing, so that they can sort of work within that. So it's not directly membership related. So that's where I'd recommend people go if they want to find out more. And I share a lot about memberships because it's my passion, and I've grown my membership up from scratch. And my business model before was very successful on paper. It was successful financially, but it wasn't successful for me. It didn't fill me with joy. I'm totally passionate about memberships. I blog about it a lot. I do a lot of videos about it. So if somebody signs up for that quiz, they'll get to, that's a good way for them to learn more about memberships from me.
I love it. So it's at katherinewatkin.com/quiz. We will link that up in the show notes for you. So if you're scrambling for a pen and can't get it written down fast enough, you can always head over to amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com and search for this episode, and it'll be right there in the show notes. Now, you're bringing up what your own journey's been in finding your passion and matching up the financial and the joy and all that. And I always like to ask my guests, and I know you're a listener of the show, so you probably know this is coming. What would you say is the boldest decision you had to make to get to the level of success you're at today?
The boldest decision that I made in my business was the decision to close down a six-figure a year revenue stream, which was my core revenue stream, and effectively go back to basics. I used to use the language, I've gone back to ground zero, sort of 6-7 years into my business, and that was really courageous. Of course, friends at the time reminded me, it's not quite ground zero, you've got a reputation, you've got assets, you've got a following. And they were absolutely right. But I did wrap up this six-figure a year turnover program because I realized it wasn't what I wanted to do anymore. But I didn't know at that point that the membership was coming. I had to create the space, and it was really scary. And I had about 3 months where I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Maybe my time in business has run its course because I can't see a future for me. But 3 months later, because I'd given myself the space, I was listening to a podcast one day, and it was an interview with somebody who had a membership talking about some of the things I've just talked about, and all the light bulbs went on at once. And I went, oh my gosh, this is it. And I just haven't looked back since.
I love that. Well, I feel you. I had a similar journey, had to close something down that was no longer feeling aligned and expansive. And it takes a lot of courage to walk away from something that is proving to generate revenue when you know it's not right. So I really acknowledge you for sharing that and giving our community permission to, not keep trying to grow something that's not feeling aligned anymore. It's okay to let it go.
Yeah. It's okay. I always say I had a dream business. It was just somebody else's dream, wasn't mine.
Well, that is a powerful word to end on. Make sure you're building your dream, not someone else's. Take Catherine's quiz. Knowing how to sell, knowing your unique sales style is one of the most valuable skills you'll have in growing a business that you love over at catherinewatkin.com/quiz. Catherine, thank you so much for sharing your own journey around membership sites and inspiring us to find that excitement to build something that people don't want to leave.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I've loved talking about it.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at AmplifyYourSuccessPodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at AmplifyYourSuccessCommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.